Penguin Random House Audio presents The Book of Witching by C.J. Cook. Read for you by Paula Masterton.
To you, dear listener. Historical note. In 1594, a woman was accused of assisting a man to kill his brother. The man was acquitted. The woman was executed at Galloha in Kirkwall, Orkney. Her name was Alison Balfour. She was the first of over 70 women to be executed in Orkney on charges of witchcraft. The more women, the more witches. Henry Holland, A Treatise Against Witchcraft, 1590. 21st of August, 1594. To His Royal Highness and Majesty, King James VI, most glorious and sacred of all God's creatures, I beseech thee, cousin, to consider this letter when I know you remain displeased with the persistent matter of my debts. Verily, these will be resolved swiftly. But a matter has arisen here upon the Isles of Orkney that forces my hand, and which I trust may find you in a temper of compassion. This past fortnight I have been gravely ill, struck with an ague such as I have never endured. It is the will of God that I remain upon the earth. Having been treated by physicians from Edinburgh, and having consulted with my household, I have learned that my brother, John Stuart, our own Master of Orkney, has waxed strong in his urge to usurp the earldom that I have so rightly claimed to use for his own gain. My inquiries have proven that his urge has taken shape in the form of witchcraft. I thought of you, dear cousin, once I learned that witching was behind my distemper. I am, and ever will be thankful, even indebted to God, that you did not lose your own life upon the North Sea, and that you wrought justice upon those who sought to take it from you. I write, therefore, to inform you that a similar method must be pursued to correct this course, with those who would see me murdered sorely punished. I trust, cousin, that you understand that the impious and unholy abomination of witchcraft cannot be tolerated on the Isles of Orkney, even as you have thrust it from the shores of Scotland. God bless you in all safety. Your ever devoted and most true servant always, Patrick Stuart, Earl of Orkney. Part 1. Finhallow. Chapter 1. Finhallow, Isle of Gun, Orkney, May 2024. It's almost sunrise. A magenta streak across the horizon, a smooth, glittering sea. The ranger's dog is barking, a wild staccato squeal that splits the calm. She shouts at him now to be quiet, her voice growing louder, her pace quickening as she moves towards him. He's a Springer Spaniel, 2 years old, easily roused. But he's never barked like this before, as though he's afraid. Finhallow's sand is soft, silken white, a seam that joins the Isle of Gun to the North Sea. The silhouette of the dog noses and whines at a dark shape by the caves that run along the outcrop. It must be a dolphin, she thinks. Perhaps a pilot whale. Except there's no fin, no shape of a tail. She sees the shape of two legs and gasps. The curious odour that she caught earlier registers. Something has been burning. The wind was in the wrong direction before, but now she catches notes of flame and meat. The dog paws the ground near the body. She sees the hands are bound together at the end of bent, blackened arms. Her pulse racing, the ranger reaches for her phone and flicks on the torch, and when the harsh white light falls on a charred grimace, she drops the phone to the ground with a shout. It lands upward, the white glare of the torch falling on the body. It is clear that the person is dead. And her torchlight picks out another shape further along the bay. She breaks into a sprint, talking to the dog as he follows her, soothing him. Somewhere, embers glisten in a nest of twigs like rubies. She lurches to a stop, just where the tide meets the sand. At her feet is the body of a teenage girl, a Nirvana print visible on her sooty t-shirt, tattoos of mermaids and beer cans on her forearms. Her face is encrusted with blood. The ranger crouches, noticing the dog is licking the girl's foot and whining. Oh God, she thinks, fear thumping in her throat. Was this an accident or murder? She moves her fingers to the girl's neck, gasping with relief when she finds a faint pulse. The girl is still alive. Quickly, the ranger snatches up her phone and begins to dial. Chapter 2, Isle of Gun, Orkney, January 1594. Alison. I wake to the smell of fire. I rise quickly, scanning the earthen floor of the cottage lest the carpet of ferns I've placed to hold the heat has set alight. Silver moonlight pours through the cottage window that overlooks the bay. Above my bed, the posy of herbs I fasten to the beam is silvered with frost. The air is filled with winter's teeth. I wrap my shawl across my shoulders against the chill and make for the stove, enjoying the warmth. It is not yet dawn, and no one else stirs, not even the chickens in the rafters, nor the calf that Beatrice has taken as a pet. Outside, an owl calls and I stiffen. An owl is an omen. It brings a message. I hold my breath, listening for the owl's tidings. These should unfurl inside my mind as a thought with edges, an instinct. But only the faces of my children come, and I realise with a start that I cannot hear either of them. Edward and Beatrice are restless sleepers, often calling out in slumber, even responding to each other, as though they inhabit the same dream. But tonight there is only the call of the owl and the distant wash of the sea. Edward's bed is empty. I tear back the coverlet and search beneath the straw mattress lest he has fallen beneath the ground, dissolved into vapour. He is not there. Beatrice? She does not stir. I lunge towards the gaping square of the nook bed, set into the stone wall of the cottage for warmth. The calfing is curled up on the coverlet, where it usually is, for Beatrice likes it to sleep with her. But my daughter is gone. A cold terror sluices around my shoulders, enclosing my heart in ice. Have the children been taken? William is yet in Kirkwall, repairing the stonework in the cathedral. When last we spoke, he had redoubled his efforts with the cohorts there who seek to overthrow the Earl. And although the plot has yet to take shape, their consultation has not been without danger. The calfling that sleeps now in my daughter's bed was born of the milking cow we found put to death outside our front door 5 nights afore. Her throat had been cut from ear to ear. I pull on my kirtle, cloak, then my cap and boots before dashing into the night air, scanning the field and the byre for any sign of the children. No sign of them. William tore out the hedges that ran along the bank so we could keep watch for approaching visitors, but in the dark no such view is afforded. The black sky is clear, a full moon fixed above, creating pools of light and wells of deep shadow. Edward! Beatrice! You must call if you hear me! All is silent. And still, the wind carries the musk of an open flame. I hasten after it, heading first to the caves that run along the outcrop above the beach. Behind me, the owl lifts silently towards the moon, its white wings set aglow by moonlight. But then it curves around behind me, headed towards the brae behind our cottage. That is where I am to go. Voices swirl in the air as I near the top of the brae, though the clamour of my heart is enough to drown out all...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?